Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. I'm joined, as always, on the show by the host. I think he's the host, or maybe at least a regular guest on the James, the Jimity Jim Jame Jaming show.
That's getting worse every
Evan
week.
Munro Smith.
Hey. Woo.
Jamie James.
Yeah. Gamey game it's called.
Well, yeah, no. Yes. I know that that's your nickname for it, but I was trying to give it the official name. It's fun to call it Gamey. It's pretty silly sounding, but yeah. It is actually called Jaming James Jimity Jim.
Jimity James.
The Jaming show.
James is one of my middle names.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's so.
James is one of my middle names. You can call me Dad. Doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
How many middle names do you have?
Two.
What?
I don't two know. Surnames, two middle names. How
two
many
surnames.
First names do you have?
Oh, I just have the one first name.
Oh, well, you're on a hot streak there for a while.
Yeah. Combo breaker. It's been a few works. Start at the start.
Oh, yeah.
So then at it least builds. It's like 1, 2, 2.
What if you change it to Ev hyphen Ann? Ev Ann, something James, Munro Smith.
I think it's
is it something James?
No, it's James something.
Oh, James something.
Yeah.
Literally
so
something?
No, it's not literally something. It's James Robert.
Oh, James Robert.
Yeah. Definitely
some strong,
for those names, yeah.
Strong Scottish names. King James, Robert the Bruce, Munro the Smith. You know, the list goes on.
Yeah.
Anyway, Evan, joining us this week.
Yes.
They're back in the Monkey House. They've been in here multiple times before. It's so good to have them in. They're podcasters and Sans Pants' best boys. It's Jackson Bailey and Adam Carnevale.
It is, wow. It's hard to say that surname any other way. I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
It's in my contract. It needs to be said like that.
Thanks so much for coming back.
Anytime. Yeah, absolutely. Love it here in the Monkey House.
We made a date last time.
Yeah.
As
yeah,
you were leaving. We put it in like I've never been that organized
yeah,
for the show.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It felt like that bit at the end of Back to the Future where the guy comes with the envelope.
Yeah.
And he goes, I can't believe the boys at the office were having a bet. Would you actually be here on this date? Theirs was decades. And, you know, included time travel, but
I
even
think
this, a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
a podcaster, a couple of weeks is basically
it, because we were so official about organizing it, it has actually been on my mind like the last two yeah. weeks occasionally.
I got sent
up.
A Google Calendar invite about this.
Yeah.
Never I got a happens. Message from Jackson on this Friday just passed being like, holy crap, we've got to watch this thing.
We got to watch this film.
Honestly, the guys around the Stupid Old Studios offices were having bets as to whether or not you'd actually be here. But it's so good to have you here. You'll probably remember this from recent times. Evan's favorite primate is the human, mm-hmm. in particular Andy from Toy Story. Do
That's
either
right.
of you have a fresh suggestion for a superior non-human primate?
So as we established on that previous episode, I want to try and lock in what exactly it is about Andy specifically so that we can try and figure out an equivalent primate to switch Indiana Jones style switch out for. So like Andy, I tried to find primates that have pets.
Sure. Yep.
May I go with I'm gonna narrow it down a little bit with a specific primate with a pet. This one that has a pet pig.
Oh my god. Well, monkey riding a pig.
Oh, that's good. That I don't know if that relationship is what I'd call pet and owner. More like frightened animal and more frightened animal.
Maybe. What about unlikely friends?
That's true. That looks so small. The scale of that picture,
Evan,
is so...
Evan, could you maybe describe for the listener that what you're looking at there?
I'm looking at it's a monkey and it's riding a pig. Well, I don't know what kind of primate that is.
I don't know either, actually. Jackson...
They both look like they're having a good time.
Yeah. Oh! I don't like this ape at all. It sort of looks like a Japanese demon.
Is it a monkey? Is that a monkey, man? You know, like those Japanese demons with the scary faces?
Yeah, no, that's a monkey.
It's bad. No, don't pick it.
All you need to do is Google monkey riding pig, and you will get this image.
Yeah.
Poor. And it's a monkey riding a pig, not a monkey riding pig.
On this... in this case, you've taken us to the website Ruffle Zoo.
Is that a website dedicated to amusing animals?
Yeah, the title says it all.
Oh, wow.
One must assume. A quality publication.
Imagine a physical Ruffle Zoo.
So is there anything you like about this particular, I'm going to call it configuration.
This particular animal alignment.
Look, it's got a lot of it's got a nice movement to it.
Nice movement. Like Andy from Toy Story.
His movement gets better in the later films.
That is true.
That's a beautiful shot. Beautiful.
That's a very good photo. I don't know how.
All right. Good photography. Yeah. Another important moment.
Imagine taking that photo and then looking at your camera, going, "I got it." You know, like that's
the photographer.
You'd
though,
be so happy with yourself.
What I like about that photo is that he must have had to roll out of the way.
He's coming straight to the camera.
There's another photo of just the pig's face slammed into the camera.
So it's cinematically shot. That's something.
Yeah, that's
cinematically shot.
Okay.
All right.
So where does this monkey sit? I mean, it sits on a pig, but where does it sit? So where does it sit in your estimations?
Look, I don't know if it's better than a human just because it's riding a pig.
Okay. Oh, he doesn't know.
Oh, sure.
That's improvement.
Yeah,
that's improvement.
He's been pretty cocksure in the past. I think we're starting to
We're cracking.
Yeah.
It's cracking.
We've got it.
Shine the light in his face.
Get the phone book out.
Yeah.
It's impressive, but I'm going to say no.
Ooh, that's close.
Yeah, that is close.
I think
close.
That might be the closest we've got.
That's amazing.
Wow. Well Whoa. Done, Adam Cannavale. Yeah.
Please, thank you.
Please and thank you. Jackson, I mean, pressure is on.
Pressure's on. Well, I was thinking, what's the most human ape I know?
That's a good start.
Exactly. And I am aware of, as has been previously established, a number of mystery apes. So the mystery ape that I'm going to bring today is the Orang Pendek. Oh. So this is a mystery ape from the Jakarta in Indonesia.
The Jakarta.
Thanks, Dad.
Sorry, I'm so lame. I don't know Jakarta. I don't know the cool way to say Jakarta.
All right, great.
Oh.
So the Orang Pendek is described as a small bipedal ape, walks on 2 feet, occasionally seen carrying tools. It is voted pretty often by cryptozoological communities as the most likely mystery ape to be proven as real.
Oh, wow.
Number of eligible zoologists have also gotten behind the Orang Pendek and been like, look, probably.
Cleo's eligible zoologist.
100. Yeah, exactly. And this is pretty cool. So you know Homo floresiensis, the...
Sure.
I'm going to say yes as I Google it.
So Homo floresiensis is an ancestor of humanity.
Oh, yeah.
Known as the Hobbit. There was a lot of controversy. Oh, is it really? Yeah. Same island. Same description. Oh. And the native people of Jakarta are like, well, yeah, we live near some little people. So...
Apparently Orang Pendek is Indonesian for short person.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
And isn't orangutan? Oh no, I don't know what that's.
Person of the forest.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, there you go.
Forest person. Wow.
So, you know, this one pretty the closest to a human that we can get without just having a little human.
Great suggestion.
And give a toy and a bedroom.
I think he's...
Give it a pig to ride.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's surreptitiously nodding. I think this one might be it.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Stand by at home.
Yeah. Don't touch that dial.
He's definitely scrolling with a smile.
So true. I really like the concerted look on your face. Yeah.
I'm just, I don't know if this is real.
This is in the, and where does, and how does that affect your decision?
Yeah.
Ooh, must be real would be an interesting line to draw.
It's good to know. You could assume, but it's nice to know now.
You could argue that Andy from Toy Story isn't real.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah.
That
exactly.
would be pretty reasonable.
But again, it's, you know, it's like a lot of these sort of crypto sort of...
People say they've seen Andy from Toy Story, but science is yet to categorize him.
Fuzzy, in that first movie, especially, very fuzzy photos. Of his leg walking past.
Andy with Woody walking by.
I mean, like, you say that people say this is the most... likely of these mythological primates.
The Cryptozoology Summit in 2009, I think, they gave it that title.
But
the Cryptozoology Summit was surreptitiously cancelled. It doesn't exist anymore.
It's starting to be reported.
Was it cancelled on Twitter?
Cancelled. Yeah. Cryptozoology's cancelled.
Said something inappropriate.
Well, sightings of this go back hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So there's no way... it could possibly live that long.
Well, that's if you're assuming it's one guy. It's probably like a species.
Right.
It's like assuming there's one deer.
As an example.
That's the deer. Okay. Oh, my God. Take a photo.
Do you reckon, is there theory that there's lots of Bigfoot is a...
Yeah.
The general
consensus is that the Bigfoot, Sasquatch, or the North American ape or nape is a surviving species with very limited numbers.
Right, okay.
But that global warming is slowly killing or has killed.
And they also, they bury their bones deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that nobody can get at them. Yeah. Yeah, that's that. Okay. Don't look at me like that, Evan. That's just lies.
As evidenced in the movie Harry and the Hendersons.
Exactly.
Which we talked about on this show, pre-Evan.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That was
PA.
Yeah.
Primates PA.
P-A-E.
Geez, I can't... This has taken him forever to get
I know.
Yes,
no.
Well, look, there's just
so
a lot to get into.
So long as there's not a no.
I
feel like we're... Me and Adam, look, I don't want to toot our own horn, but we're good at breaking through those walls.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no, you're getting very close.
Yes.
Because you could also... Confirmation. You could also say that... Andy from Toy Story is a short person.
You could.
Or a nape.
Or Orang Pendek.
Or, yeah, the Indonesians would call Andy.
Yes, Orang Pendek.
Man, it's scary to be this close to the sun. I'm like Icarus, baby. My wings are burning.
Hanging on.
Yeah.
But I don't see any reason why this would be better than a human.
Oh, man. Crashing and burning. Oh, that's,
you know, worth a look in.
Any reason.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, he... Listen closely. I can't see any reason why it could be better, but he's not said anything bad about
it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yes. It's
equal footing.
Equal footing here.
Well, actually, a slightly shorter footing.
Of course, it's in the name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna say
Pendek?
Pendek.
Oh, whoa.
Is that where that comes from?
It must
Maybe.
Be. Short. I can't think of anything else. I can't imagine a different world.
Okay. Whoa.
Wow.
That's mind blowing. Evan, you got us to Pendek somehow.
Well done.
Well done, Evan.
Did I do that?
Yeah.
Wow. That was a common joke in Indonesian class, was Pendek.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, common joke.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we thought we're
not breaking any ground.
Yeah, though. That's a shame to find out.
Okay. I feel like a common chimpanzee right now, which is the most widespread version.
The most common one.
Oh, well put. Should we get on to today's topic, Evan?
Yeah,
is that a definite no?
It's a definite no. It's a no.
It feels like a maybe.
Yeah, it feels close. I feel like I've gotten pretty close.
No.
It feels like we'll leave that one undecided for now, I reckon.
I reckon that, there's something to take away from that.
Yeah.
I reckon edging towards success. All right, today's topic is the film Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl from 2003.
Mm.
It's a big Disney blockbuster at 2 hours and 23 minutes.
It was longer than I expected.
I was surprised by that running length.
Yeah.
So I was
right when I said I didn't have time to watch this before the podcast.
But you've seen it before?
Yeah. So yeah. Of course. I've seen it several times in my life.
Right. I hadn't seen any of the series until I watched it today.
How did you avoid that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You see this one at the cinema when it came out, or did you see it some other time?
Is this the
first time? Oh, you literally only just watched it now.
I just watched it
today. Wow.
Yeah. Jeez.
I thought it was, you know, I was expecting it to be worse. Don't people shit on these a lot?
They don't like people don't like the second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Okay.
People don't like Johnny Depp as much as they used to.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I reckon that's the... He was loved at this stage, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was a genius. Yeah. So this character he's come up with. Keith Richard, part someone else.
Ooh, this character that he's come up with, he's only played it once so far.
Yeah. It's fresh still.
It was his breakout role, though, right? Like, I don't think I'd heard of Johnny Depp before this film series.
What about Edward Scissorhands?
Or Chocolat. Well,
or Ed Wood.
Yeah. I hadn't seen Ed Wood, and I haven't seen those films.
Yeah.
What about
I was aware of them.
21 Jump Street, the TV series?
Yeah.
Well, that was after this.
The TV series.
That was much earlier in his career.
I think he was already a huge star. If anything, this was like a resurgence.
Yeah,
I would say that he was maybe like a decent star, but I think he became A-list after this.
Possibly. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe was he an indie darling previous?
not indie darling, but he's now an A-list celebrity.
Yeah, I don't know if he was household name before.
Yeah, really?
I don't think I'd heard of him.
Sleepy Hollow?
Oh, I had seen Sleepy Hollow, actually.
Let me have a look at his discography, whatever you call the movie.
Sleepy Hollow.
Movography?
Man, Christopher Walken with spiky teeth biting a horse. Does that happen in that movie? He certainly has spiky teeth and there are heaps of horses, so it wouldn't shock me.
Such a strange fever dream you came up with.
He bites someone.
I don't remember much of that film.
He was in Platoon.
What's that?
He was in
Oliver Stone movie.
Oh, that's crazy.
He was in Edward Scissorhands.
Mm.
Who did he play in Platoon?
His first film was Glenn Lance in A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Benny and June, What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Of course.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yeah. Ed Wood.
Yeah, he'd been about before Pirates of the Caribbean. But Pirates of the Caribbean, I feel like... It cemented the
Donnie Brasco.
Yeah, Donnie Brasco. I feel like this cemented the Johnny Depp that we all knew and loved for a period.
He'd already done Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. That was a pretty big one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Sleepy Hollow, Astronaut's Wife, Chocolat.
Yeah, Chocolat.
Okay, all right.
He'd done Blow. He'd done a lot of...
What's Blow?
Blow, a lot of big movies.
Yeah. He'd been around.
He'd done a lot of Blow.
He's still doing a lot of Blow.
Is Ed Wood a Tim Burton film as well as Edward Scissorhands? Right, okay.
Yeah.
Because they obviously had
a
long...
big combo, I think.
Yeah, right.
Mm. Maybe he was most famous as Tim Burton's muse.
Yeah, right.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Would that be okay to say?
I think that's all right to say.
Oh, thank God. Anyway, so he's in Pirates of the Caribbean this time. IMDb has a super brief synopsis.
That's great.
And I love these. I love to see when they drop it down into one sentence.
Oh, that's good.
What details of a 2 hour, 23 minute film do they take out? And this is what they say. Blacksmith Will Turner teams up with eccentric pirate Captain Jack Sparrow to save his love, the governor's daughter, from Jack's former pirate allies, who are now undead. They actually do a pretty good job there.
That's pretty concise. Yeah, that covers it. There's not much really left out of that equation.
Efficiency of words.
My favorite character, Norrington, gets left out of
that's true.
Which one's Norrington?
Norrington is the upstart British boy.
Yeah. Adam has a great and powerful love for one of the film's villains. Not even one of the cool villains.
Oh, yeah. The worst villain by far.
Absolutely. The one who...
I'm a sucker for a uniform.
Oh, absolutely. And
what's his name? Norrington.
Norrington.
Yeah.
Jack, played by Jack Davenport.
Yes.
He's sort of the main. He's the main Englishman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was call him the main Englishman.
I think Jack Sparrow and Will Turner are both English, but the main Englishman.
Yeah. The main proper Englishman.
Yeah.
And all three of them are going for Natalie Portman, is it?
No, Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley, yeah.
Who's another English person.
Mm.
He was in Coupling, That's a sitcom from the early 2000s.
Oh,
was it on air at this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
Ah. I've heard of, like, I've not seen. You gave me a look. Be nice.
I have no coupling opinions.
Jack Davenport. So, yeah, do you want a bit, Rotten Tomatoes has a much longer synopsis. Should I read that? I don't know.
Hit us.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'll go.
What's its tomato score to begin with?
Yeah, tomato score.
What do you think it might be?
I'm mid-70s is what I'm guessing.
I'm gonna guess 81.
I'm gonna go higher, 85.
Oh, you're all in the right ballpark.
Mm. How is that possible?
79.
Oh, okay. All right. We were all in the ballpark. Can I get for the franchise?
How is that possible?
Well,
you said mid-70s. He said mid-80s. How is it possible that we're all in the ballpark?
I figured like a ballpark has got to be less than 10, but maybe not.
Well, I think it is. 79 right, is within both of those.
Well, it's mid. No, you're right.
From
okay.
the mid-70s. No, I suppose not. Unless you're counting the mid. Yeah.
You were close to the audience. Score 86.
Okay.
So more beloved
can I get
by the audience.
Because I assume it declined. The declining tomato score from the first to the fifth Pirates of the Caribbean film.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Yeah, so
that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Because I feel like it's going to. My guess would be.
I reckon it's going to slump at two. It'll go back up for three, but not as high as one.
Yeah.
And then it'll tank just... four and five. Four and five are going to be garbage.
Remind me, Adam, because we've seen five. We recently, well, by recently, I mean maybe 3 or 4 months ago,
yeah.
We did a reverse for some reason. Watch it, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Weirdly in
reverse. The Adam and Jackson viewing, which is where you watch it backwards for some reason.
It wasn't even backwards. It was 2, 3, 4, 1, 5. That was the order.
That's the viewing order. Yeah. If you want to follow in our footsteps.
You call that the machete? What is it?
That's watching the machete viewing order.
So it goes 1 was 79%, 2, 53%. So it's a pretty sharp drop. So that becomes a splat.
Yeah.
Then 2007's at World's End, 44%.
Continuing
the slide.
This is the critic score.
Yep.
Wow.
2011 on Stranger Tides, 33%.
That checks.
Yeah, that's
and
okay.
Finally hitting its nadir in 2017's Dead Men Tell No Tales, which is a great name, 30%.
Well, how did that go up?
No, it's down again,
just not as dramatically.
Yeah. 79, 53, 44,
33. Wow.
That is
for me, 1 to 3
are good.
Great films.
Yeah.
Okay.
A wonderful trilogy high in adventure.
Both of us will argue for 1 to 3.
Absolutely. 4 has maybe 3 good scenes. 5 has not.
Okay.
No good scenes.
5 is a good sceneless picture.
But it's a great title.
Dead Men Tell No Tales. It's incredible. It's
great.
And it gets worse from there.
Yeah,
It's funny to watch Javier Bardem act through black bile spilling out of his mouth.
Javier Bardem spits up a lot of black goo in that movie.
What about the fact that the CGI was now looks real dated? Did any of you see it near when it came out?
Yeah.
The original one?
I remember it being very good.
Yeah, right.
The CGI.
Because to me, it looked like those skeleton screensavers from the old ones.
Yeah.
Like they would get when they're climbing up ropes and stuff as skeletons, there's no grip.
The weight of it.
When we were rewatching it, Jackson noticed that there's a scene where they're climbing up a rope to get onto a boat.
Yeah.
And Jackson noticed that one of their legs clipped into the boat.
Yeah, there's a lot of little clipping issues, you can see, which is such a shame.
Like, feels like an easy thing to fix.
Yeah. It's definitely showing its age.
Yeah, but still a great film.
It's the trick of it, right? Because at the time, that blows people's minds.
Yeah.
But it's just a ticking time bomb for when it's going to be a joke.
Absolutely.
Any big CGI stuff.
But somehow 5 also looks atrocious. Like the CGI, because in 5,
2 years ago,
there's a flashback to a young Jack Sparrow, and it's Johnny Depp been youngified.
Oh,
and it's
no.
awful. Yeah. It's horrifying.
Not up to Avengers level.
Oh,
Marvel
wow.
Level.
It's gross.
Okay. Maybe I guess we should explain why they're skeletons.
Yeah, well, what's the plot of,
Let's go through what Rotten Tomatoes says.
Yes, please.
It says a tale of adventure.
That's true.
Evan realized there's a subgenre of action called swashbuckling.
Swashbuckling. Yeah, it's a swashbuckler film.
Yeah.
Where'd you find that out? On the internet?
Yeah, probably Wikipedia or something.
Wikipedia, okay, yeah. That's which is an online website, isn't
that's
it?
That's right. Yeah,
right. Where would I find Wikipedia?
Yeah,
on
what
the
would
internet?
I need to
it's
do? Wikipedia.org in your internet
okay.
browser.
Oh, browser, right. Okay. Right. Now, how do we go about getting one of those? So, it's according to Rotten Tomatoes, it's a tailor of a. It's a tailor. Little tailor. Okay. She just wanders around. A tailor. Of adventure set during the 17th century in the Caribbean Sea or Caribbean Sea. Mm. Which one's right?
I prefer saying Caribbean.
Caribbean's more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going net enjoyment in a word.
I reckon it tended to be called Caribbean in Australia till these movies.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
Yeah.
It's an interesting theory. It sounded like I had something to add, but guess what?
I don't. It was just like such a mismatched amount of intrigue.
Oh, you would say that, wouldn't you?
Truly makes one think.
I wonder how you would how you'd determine that. It's what? Not like you can just do like a, you know, like a Google Trends search to look up pronunciation.
Yeah,
like you'd
that's
have to
true.
Go back to actual
what people what people actually said. Yeah.
Unless we can figure out how to spell those two different pronunciations.
One has one B, one has two.
Yeah.
No. <Okay. laughs> Wait.
Caribbean.
Caribbean. Caribbean.
Has like three, it has three B's.
Yeah, no, Caribbean has one. Carib-ian.
Caribbean.
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 Caribbean. No, listen to both of them in context.
Pirates of the Caribbean. And Pirates of the Caribbean.
Caribbean, yeah, three V's. Or
three V's?
Three B's.
Get out of here.
What are you saying?
When you listen to them in context.
Caribbean.
And Caribbean.
Caribbean.
Yeah, Caribbean. Three V's.
No.
Yes.
One V and two. Carib. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Please, settle this argument.
All right, what? How do you spell Queen Bean?
Queen Bean?
This will help settle it.
Q-U-E-E-N-B-E-A-N?
What is this?
No, that's not how you spell Queen Bean.
What are
you gotcha.
Saying? You've killed me.
Caribbean.
Okay, now get Caribbean up.
How do you Google that? All right. Well, geez, we've been sidetracked there. What is it? So 17th century, it says.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I mean, so they, I wonder why they chose that time.
Well, I think that was the golden age of piracy, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's probably, okay, that's good.
Or the tail end of the golden age of piracy.
Right.
Possibly. Mm.
Well, if they knew what they were going to do in 2 and 3, then definitely, yeah.
What I think is,
Sorry, go on.
No, please.
We're so polite now. Because in 2 and 3, they do explore the end of piracy.
Yeah.
They have a great line in the second or third movie where they're like, the edges of the map are being filled in.
Yeah, yeah.
We now know the world.
What I really like, and I think it's really weird about the Pirates of the Caribbean, well, I don't like, I just think it's weird about the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, is that the second and third one's about the end of piracy. And at the end of them, it's like one big last hurrah for piracy. And the kind of implication is that it's finished. But then two more films come out. And if the timeline were to work out there, like it's well beyond when piracy ended. So Pirates of the Caribbean takes place in this mad world where piracy will never be like it's just strange to watch,
yeah.
You know.
I wonder why they didn't go with a prequel or something.
Because I think there's like a line in the but there's like a line in the third one where Jack Sparrow's like, Jack Sparrow, the last pirate. That sounds good. And it's like, well, no, it's carrying on forever.
We've created a few more.
Yeah.
I was wondering about how historically accurate it was, just based on, you know, the only things that they really referenced.
Mm.
Well, the one that made me think, I wonder how accurate that is, or if it's just for the jokes, is at one point, Keira Knightley is given a dress by her dad.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, this is weird. And he says, they're all the rage in London now. I'm like, oh, is that true? Now, I thought, Jackson, for some
dresses.
Reason, you would know.
Well, here's what I do know, is that there's a scene, a great scene, where Jack Sparrow is looking at the motley crew of pirates that he's assembled to take back the Black Pearl. And that's where we're introduced to some Pirates of the Caribbean staples. We're introduced to Parrot Boy.
Boy who has his tongue cut out and his parrot talks for him.
Yeah.
But all the parrot says is ready to sail.
Yeah, right. We're introduced to the little person who... comedically, in several films, has a gun that fires him back into the ship. That joke is played like in every single film.
But in that scene, he has an unripe banana. But the banana trade would not... That is an anachronism. Anachronism?
Okay.
Acronism?
Inaccuracy?
No, anachronism. What do you call it when there's something...
Yeah, anachronism.
Anachronism, yeah.
An anachronism.
An anachronism? He shouldn't have that banana, is my point. I don't think the banana trade was in such that he could have that kind of banana. And that's all I know about the historical accuracy of the film.
Isn't there also something about he hires like a female pirate played by, I don't know the actress's name.
Zoe Saldana?
Yeah, that's it. Zoe Saldana. And I think she has some historical accuracy, doesn't she?
Yeah, very, very possibly. I know there were a lot of awesome like female pirates at the time. There were those two that left their husbands and sailed together as lovers. They ruled. There's something to do with her. I also know that in the second one, they go to Singapore, which didn't exist at the time.
Yeah.
But, the facts I know about the historical accuracy of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise are so sporadic for some reason.
Jerry Bruckheimer, surprisingly, not really concerned.
He's a pedant. He will... every fine detail, he's on top of.
If you went to like the director's commentary, he'd explain the banana.
Yeah.
He'd be like, Jack Sparrow was bringing them in or something.
There was a period where you could be undead. Only in the moonlight. Seeing as I started, I should read through this Rotten Tomatoes thing. So, a tale of adventure set during the 17th century in the Caribbean Sea, or Caribbean, for the roguish yet charming Captain Jack Sparrow, the crystalline waters of the Caribbean. How many unpronounceable words in here? Like the high seas the world over present a vast playground where adventure and mystery abound. You can already see how many more words they've chosen to use. But Jack's idyllic life capsizes after his nemesis, the wily Captain Barbossa, steals his ship, the Black Pearl. This all happens before the movie starts.
Yeah.
And later attacks the town of Port Royal, kidnapping the governor's beautiful daughter. This happens in the film. Elizabeth Swan, who's
that's the start of the film. Yeah.
Elizabeth's childhood friend, Will Turner, who we see in a little mini prequel part at the start.
So Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, we see young Orlando Bloom get saved by the governor's ship.
Something I always found weird about that scene is that what's the name?
Gibbs,
Master Gibbs.
Yeah,
he's on there as a member of the Royal Navy, and then the next time we see him, he's in Tortuga sleeping on pigs.
Yeah, and he's a pirate, and it's not really explained.
In no film do they explain it, but in I think the fourth and the fifth one, they imply that Jack Sparrow and Mr. Gibbs have been like together since they were like young men. So like what
was Gibbs doing on that?
Why
Navy
is he there?
Ship?
Was that a period where they had a falling out? It's very strange.
And the only thing that I think they try to make sure we knew it was the same guy because he said as a legit salesman and as the pirate, he said, "Women on ships is bad luck."
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that was, apart from the mutton shot, he looked like sort of old Wolverine.
Yeah.
It does say on the Wikipedia page for that character.
Mm.
So he's first seen as a Royal Navy warrant officer aboard the vessel carrying...
Elizabeth Swan.
Elizabeth Swan. So then... Then she says, sometime over the next 8 years, Gibbs either leaves or is expelled from the Royal Navy.
Oh, that clears it up.
There you go. Okay.
Of course.
So either leaves or is expelled.
But they were friends beforehand as well.
But yeah, the timeline's so strange because him and Jack Sparrow knew each other. Then something happened where Gibbs went to the Navy because he wasn't a member of Barbossa's crew. Gibbs wasn't... We never get to see an undead Gibbs, which would roll.
Also, the age difference between Elizabeth Swan and
Norrington
is very strange because Norrington...
He doesn't age as she goes from a child to a woman.
Yeah.
The same actor plays him in the
They don't try and youngify him or anything.
Yeah, I know. It's so strange.
They grey his wig.
Oh, do they?
I think his younger wig is... I'm pretty sure he wears a brown wig at the start. And
graying someone's wig feels like, I don't know, like some kind of terrible slang.
I'm pretty sure
his dad, his wig.
I think his dad's wig is grayed as well.
Yeah. Is that a thing they did?
The dad's wig, you're definitely right about. I do remember that, actually.
They grayed his wig.
I think they grayed both their wigs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, time has passed. They've grayed their wigs.
The wigs have been grayed. What a tragedy.
They're like their wigs in the films. Yeah. Is that something, historically, I guess, as they age, they grayed their wigs?
Is that a thing people did? No. That seems like you would wear a wig to like...
I love
I love that sort of stuff, like historical stuff where that became, this is just what nobility do or whatever they are. They wear wigs because some important person would have been bald. Yeah. So he would have said, no, we all wear wigs.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
all wear big wigs.
And everyone would be like, hell yeah,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, of course we do. That's what we do. It's like that sometimes the king wears a hat.
Yeah.
So it's rude not to wear a hat inside. And then he goes, I don't like hats. Well, no, it's rude to wear hats.
Nor do we.
Everyone knows that. And then older people will tell the younger generation, hey, you're being rude wearing that hat inside.
Yeah.
Like Adam Carnivale is doing right now.
Oh, yeah.
But you'd be like, oh, sorry, you're talking about an old king.
Yeah, my
he's
king
dead.
Wore
that
hats,
doesn't really,
so.
There's a hat king these days.
My ancestors worshipped a different king.
Yeah.
Who preferred to solve his baldness with a wig. I mean a hat. Oh, gosh. Sorry. I don't mean to, you know, insult
was,
the
or
wig
or whatever
king
it is. I don't know. Like, I'm not necessarily baldness, but it was maybe the king had
a
fair skin. You know?
Yeah, he didn't. I know there was a king who was so obese that his neck fat was, or his stomach fat was coming up to his neck, and so he wore a really massive starched collar to hide it, and that's why starched collars became really popular, because everyone was like, the king's doing it, it's cool, but really the king was hiding a whale.
Well, there was a like the sort of laurel wreath headwear of the Romans because someone didn't like their haircut or something.
I think so much power.
I think Caesar did do that to hide his he had a bald spot that he was very conscious of.
Yeah, right.
So I think that might have
it's interesting how much that those sort of things have affected.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I think mustaches probably became popular when a guy had a big nose or a small mouth.
Gross upper lips.
My dad I found out, you know, when I was a bit older that one of the reasons he's always had a mustache is cuz he's got a smaller mouth. He shaved it, which I would have the same mouth, so maybe that's why I have a beard. I don't know, but I think it only looks small after shaving off your mustache.
Yeah.
So I think my mum might have met him when he had the mustache. He shaved it off. She's like, "Well, small mouth." He's like, "Say no more. I start growing the mustache back today."
That rules.
But it's so funny, and that would have been like when he was a teenager.
Yeah.
So it's just little things.
When do you realize you have a little mouth?
And like, someone tells you, presumably.
I'm so focused on everyone's mouths now.
Or when your mouth is too little to kiss, probably. You keep going in the other person, you just slip in accidentally.
Oh no, I'm in there again.
What's going on here? What's wrong?
I don't know if that's necessarily your fault. They might be going too big. They're coming in with a wide mouth gate, so to speak. All right, now... Do I need to start this synopsis again? No, I think we're up to Elizabeth's childhood friend. So this is Keira Knightley, Will Turner, which is Orlando Bloom, joined forces with Jack to commandeer the fastest ship in the British fleet, the HMS Interceptor, in a gallant attempt to rescue her and recapture the Black Pearl. So what's happening here? So Captain Jack has been captured.
Yeah.
He gets arrested for piracy, obviously. But then when the Pearl attacks Port Royal, he gets set free. And he and Will Turner, because Elizabeth has been kidnapped, they crack a cracking scheme.
A cracking scheme.
Where they steal one ship to actually secretly steal
a second ship. There's a lot of good scenes in this moment. There's obviously they're like, we're stealing the Dauntless, the fastest ship in the... What's the thing that guy says? Well, the Dauntless is the fastest ship in these waters, sure enough, or whatever. but then secretly they're stealing the Interceptor. And there's also the great scene where they are submarining towards the ship underneath a rowboat. A thing I don't think you can do at all.
Right.
Man, it's a good scene.
You can trap air in a boat.
Yeah, but I feel like if you were underneath the pool of the boat would just like
and also
rise you out of the water.
Right. Both people and wood are buoyant, unfortunately.
Yeah. Alas.
But there was your man...
Norrington.
Norrington. he does a great flip there when they're trying to steal the ship that two men can't sail by themselves. He goes, this is the worst pirate I've ever seen. And then he realizes he's being conned and his right-hand man goes... It's going to be the best pirate I've ever seen.
That right-hand man is one of my favorite characters. He's so like what? He's risking getting fired or kicked out of the Navy every time he brings it up. But he's just so impressed that he's got to say something.
A couple of times in the movies, he's like, man, that Jack Sparrow is so clever.
It's like, Norrington should reasonably be like, dude, he is the enemy.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering, what's his motivation there? Is it to rub it in, or is it just he can't
Does
hold
he
it
hate
back?
Norrington? Or is he just like, wow, look, sorry, I know I shouldn't say, but holy shit, Norrington, that guy rules. That's like watching your friend get, like, I don't know, the shit mugged. Beaten out of him or mugged, and you're like, look, I'm sorry, but wow, he was cool.
He was cool. He really beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, you were like, you thought that mugger wasn't going to mug you, but he showed you, dude.
You see the way he flipped that knife around?
You kind of suck a little bit. So funny.
So the duo, which is Depp and Bloom, and their crew are pursued by Elizabeth's betrothed, the debonair, ambitious Commodore Norrington, who's just been ordained the Commodore.
Yes.
After, with a little fancy sword ceremony.
Yeah, a little cool sword ceremony.
And they're aboard the HMS Dauntless. Unbeknownst to Will, there is a curse that has doomed Barbossa and his crew to live forever as the undead. When exposed to moonlight, they are exposed to living skeletons. The curse they carry can be broken only if a once plundered treasure is restored. So we find that all out. So we meet Barbossa, who's played by...
Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a little sidekick, Monkey.
He does. And that's really the core of what today's about.
Finally.
It's taken us over half an hour to get to it, but yeah.
Do we discuss the monkey's name yet, or should we leave that as an exciting spoiler?
Yeah, I think, I'm happy for you to go with it now.
Yeah.
Well, we find out a little later on in the movie when they're fighting over, they've got like a little MacGuffin thing that they've got, each one's trying to steal. And the monkey steals it from Jack to bring it to Barbossa. And Barbossa says, good job, Jack.
I think he says, thank you, Jack.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
Yeah.
And then he looks at Jack Sparrow and says, we named the monkey Jack.
Yeah. And what a line. What a powerful, incredible move. To name your monkey after your rival.
A deposed ex-captain of the ship you are on.
And then you name your monkey, who you also get at some point a little shirt and waistcoat designed for.
Who is also affected by the curse and is a skeleton monkey.
Absolutely. That monkey took some of the Aztec treasure. That's what that means.
Yeah. So the curse is because it's explained that they stole the Aztec treasure from Cortez.
And then they were cursed by the pagan gods to be living skeletons and not be able to feel anything.
They were cursed to be poor CGI.
Yeah.
Forever.
Until they all returned.
So they couldn't eat, they couldn't enjoy what they missed most, seemingly. Jeffrey Rush wanted to eat an apple.
Yeah, he's so concerned with eating that apple.
He wanted to eat a bloody apple.
I can understand that.
I think it would be interesting to see if you got all of your earthly pleasures taken away, what you missed the most.
Yeah.
I've said it wasn't spaghetti for Barbossa.
Real quick, favorite apple?
Granny Smith.
Oh, my God. All right.
It's a bit surprised because it's so good. Or?
No, that's going to be maybe the second worst apple.
It's a cooking apple.
That's
Granny
a cooking
Smith.
Apple at best.
Eating apple.
Are you talking about stewed?
Yeah,
Granny
in like
Smith?
An apple pie?
Yeah, in an apple
or
pie.
Or a crumble? Delicious.
In an apple pie, you can't really taste what apple. That's why you use a Granny Smith.
Granny Smith Granny Smith is the Andy of Toy Story of apples.
Absolutely.
No, I'm saying apple in the hand.
Okay.
Granny Smith.
So apple in the hand. Granny
All right,
Smith.
What about the Granny Smith apple?
Yeah, it's appealing
like?
To you.
Yeah.
It's real.
All of the apples we'll be discussing today are real.
I don't know any mythological apples. I'm sorry.
The only apple worse is the Red Delicious.
Yeah. Oh, screw the Red Delicious.
Yeah, they're bad.
Not chalky.
Red Delicious.
It's flowery.
Yeah,
it's
a rock.
It always tricks me. Yeah. I always think it's going to be good.
It's got a great name.
It's got a great name. Yeah.
Delicious in the title.
A great name and a beautiful coat.
Yeah.
Beautiful shiny coat.
And then you bite into it and you're like, wow.
Wow.
This is awful.
Yeah.
This is truly a cooking apple.
And then you throw it into the bin.
Yeah.
And it makes a beautiful ding. That's the most satisfying.
The best part of the Red Delicious.
Or if you're Joel Zammit, from Sanspence Radio, you eat the entire apple.
Yeah, he's a core eater.
What?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Oh.
We find it horrifying. I think that's insane. I don't know why you would have a bad bit of the fruit. I think that's a strange thing that people do where they're like, well, like, you know, a pomegranate.
Yeah.
So I don't eat the seeds in a pomegranate.
Wait, isn't that the only edible bit?
Well, because there's flesh around the seeds.
Oh, right.
But people are like, we'll just eat the seeds. I'm like, that's a bad bit of the fruit. I don't want to eat that bit of the fruit.
Would you don't eat the pulp of an orange?
Well, no, that's an all right bit of the fruit.
You don't eat the skin, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't eat the orange.
Anyone taking a bite out of an orange like it's an apple is a mad person.
If I was just sitting, like, maybe say at the train station and I saw someone across the station bite an apple, an orange like an apple.
A what?
An orange.
An apple?
Bite an orange like an apple, I would scream and run. Something would have gone terribly wrong. What's your favorite apple, Adam?
I like a Fuji.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Fuji's great. Yeah. Well done. Mm. And I remember there was, at some, you know how there's like infomercials on morning TV?
Yeah.
When I was a kid for a while, so there'd be like this makeup, English makeup lady. I don't know if she's still around, but she's like, morning glow. You just dust it on like this. It gives you a beautiful natural glow. Maybe it was called natural glow.
That is
natural
familiar,
glow.
Actually, yeah.
Around that same period, there was another lady who would come on to those shows and spruik apples, including Fuji's. She'd be like,
that's
check
amazing.
Out this Fuji. And if you're lucky, and she'd cut in and she'd go, you get the beautiful honey core.
What?
And then there'd be like this sort of yellowing around the core. Like, this is like an especially sweet core on the Fuji. And it always blew my mind. I think it was maybe that was when Fuji's were introduced to Australia.
Yeah.
They had a marketing
campaign
for
it. It's weird to market
an
app. But Australia does that all the time. Banana-na-na-na.
That's true.
Avocados
have
get
an
one.
Avo?
Have an avo,
lamb.
Yeah, around lamb. They're just like, hey, eat lamb.
Yeah. The industry, they band together and...
Yeah.
Strange.
Do an ad for just a... Yeah.
Mushrooms had a big one when I was a kid. Mushrooms.
Oh, really?
Meat
really?
For vegetarians was the
really?
Yeah, which is not true.
Wow.
No. They are very
different.
They're
mushrooms.
They're meaty in a way, aren't they?
I guess you could fleshy.
See, if you've ever had corn spelt not how you would expect it. Corn is always like a meat substitute. They do corn patties, they do corn sausage rolls and such.
Yeah. Yep.
So I guess if you prepare it in the right way, it is the meat.
But
it's
corn
is made
of mushroom, is it? Or
it's just mushroom, yeah.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I did not realize that.
It's just made of mushroom.
Because I've had that and it's quite good.
I don't mind corn.
I don't mean to say I don't love mushrooms.
Yeah,
and that ad affected me enough that I remember the motto all these years later.
That's wild.
But yeah, Fuji's a great call. B. Jackson.
I'm a jazz apple man.
Oh, jazz is great. Crisp.
It's
fresh,
delicious, sour, tart enough.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Oh,
so we've
fan.
Got so far we've got tart, we've got sweet, and we've got a moron,
awful,
an awful idiot. Who...
I can't
I'm talking
imagine...
about the apple, not you.
Yeah.
The apple is an idiot. I kind of like how you've gone with
this. Yeah, me too.
You've gone the underdog.
It's
apple,
not on purpose. It's just I can't imagine
Granny
an apple
Smith
being
is an
better
idiot
than that.
Apple.
Yeah,
it's incredible to watch someone else get bullied on a podcast.
I'm not bullying Evan. I'm bullying his apple. it's maybe a bit patriotic because that is an Australian apple.
Yeah.
I think it was maybe invented.
It's very sour, Granny Smith. Yeah,
Granny Smith was the nana on the property where the apple originated.
Yeah.
I believe.
Well, there you go.
My favorite, I think mine's almost hack.
Yeah,
the Pink Lady.
Pink Lady's
Pink
good.
Lady.
Pink Lady's good.
It's sort
Pink
of somewhere between your two, I think. The
makes
jazz
a great
the,
juice.
Yeah,
yeah.
Great
Pink
juice.
Lady
yeah.
makes a good
Beautiful
juice.
Juice.
Is Pink Lady the because at the Safeway near where I live. There's this juice that I've never seen anywhere else, and it's apple juice, but it's specific apples.
In a triangle?
No, it's
bottle?
Not. It's
no, not
it's,
that
it's
one.
More like in an octagon.
I know the one you're thinking of, though.
Yeah, it's not pressure fruit. This is something else. And on the side, they have a sweet to tart scale, and then the tartar it is.
It's like the IBUs on a beer.
Yeah.
Where does Granny Smith go fit on that scale?
They off have
the
scale. Not. There's no Granny Smith juice because they
Science
knew no one
Granny
would
Smith
want it.
Granny Smith makes good juice.
But there's Jazz, Red Delicious, and what was the one you picked?
Red Delicious.
Pink Lady.
Pink Lady, yeah.
If you juice a Red Delicious, it becomes a powder.
A Red Delicious is absolutely powdered apple.
Why
correct.
Do they make them? Are they cheap? Or like what's
I don't know. I think it was the first apple.
Because I'll agree.
Apple
bad.
Technology has moved beyond
yeah.
it. And some people are nostalgic, I reckon.
I think it's you because a lot of different types of apple are actually copywritten or something like that.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you own the different
the
types of apple
brands.
Mm. Yeah, and I think things like Granny Smith or Red Delicious are like
public
free,
domain.
Yeah,
public
domain
apple.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone can use them.
Yeah, I think I did see something particularly in the US about designer apples. And
yeah.
Do you know
brands.
That with apples, when you're growing them, the seeds from an apple won't grow the exact same apple that they come from. So every apple seed is like a randomly generated new apple. And the only way to, I think, is grafting is the way to make
it. I think oranges are the same. Yeah. Navels, which are the big orange in Australia at least, they're infertile trees.
Yeah, okay.
So they all come from go back to the one tree. That's why they've all got that weird defect where there's like a tiny little orange at the
genetic.
Top of it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, you know, cool. That weird little
nubbin.
Yeah. The little nubbin orange. Yeah. When you get a real well formed one of those, it's
great.
It's so cool.
It's a thumb hook to peel the orange. Yeah.
Pull out the nubbin. Mini. It's tripped me out. Imagine it kept growing and then that little one grew a smaller one in it.
Oh, God.
Russian oranges. Sort of
or like an orange snowman.
Yeah, wow. Anyway, we should probably close up this week's episode of Getting Fruity. Getting Fruity with Matt and the boys. and get back
What kind of apple does Barbossa have?
Oh,
it's a red one, right?
It's
not
a
Granny Smith.
I reckon
it's
a red delicious. Yeah. I think because it was the only apple in the 1700s.
And he couldn't taste it anyway. So.
Yeah, it didn't really matter.
It was green, actually.
Yeah, it's red, but it's got green streaks to it.
It's an interesting apple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know how it's probably before, you know, the genetic engineering came.
True. It might be a random apple, just like one of those, you know.
Oh.
I know that...
He holds different apples in different scenes.
Right.
Wow.
Just a fan of... In many of these images, it is definitely a Granny Smith.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, see? A lot of them show there you go.
Beautiful to see Australia on the big screen. I mean, he's an Australian
it's
actor.
It's true. I guess it's going to, you know.
So he probably, maybe that was in his contract. I'll do the apple scene only if we bring over Australia's.
Oh, my God. It is just, sorry, I saw one where it wasn't a Granny Smith.
Yeah.
Which was not actually a photo of Jeffrey
Wright. What is this? It's a painting or something.
Yeah.
It looks like CGI, like bad CGI.
Is it from
Pirates
of the Caribbean?
Yeah. Yes, it must be from a video game.
It'll be from Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, otherwise, it is definitely a Granny Smith. The Australian.
That's
wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
we
cool.
did it. What
there
a proud moment for Australia.
Yeah. Man, no apple looks better than, and it is a Granny Smith, which we did pile on before, but no apple looks better than in the second Pirates of the Caribbean when Barbossa returns from the dead. Spoilers.
Okay. I should also say I'm not at all having a go at the way a Granny Smith looks.
Yeah.
A beautiful looking apple.
Yeah,
great.
I'm only talking about it. It's an idiot apple to taste.
Yeah, it sucks to eat.
Yeah.
But it's a looking apple. It's a looking apple.
When, you know, Jack Sparrow, he's lost to the Kraken and everyone's like, oh no. And then Tia Dorm is like, would you do it? Would you, you know, go to the edge of the earth to bring Jack Sparrow back? And they're like, you're going to need a brilliant captain who can chart those waters. And then Barbossa walks down the stairs and takes a powerful bite of the apple and it dribbles down his beard. Yeah. And he's like, so what's become of my ship then? That apple looks so goddamn good. Oh my God. It's so juicy. You know he's loving it because he's finally eating an apple.
Yeah.
What? I mean, the way you're talking about that Granny Smith, Evan and Evan's love for it.
Yeah.
I haven't had one since I was a kid.
Maybe we go. Maybe
we're going to give it another go.
Maybe the next episode of Getting Fruity with
Matt and the boys.
We all eat a Granny Smith. See how we do.
Next time you come back, we're going to do an apple tasting.
Yeah. That'll be next week's fruit challenge. Yeah.
Our boldest fruit challenge yet.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Where did we get to with the plot of the film?
Well, I mean, this synopsis got us up to the point where they're undead.
Oh, yeah.
Do we want to talk? I mean, we should spend a little time on the monkeys.
Yeah, that's what we were.
So I found there's a pirates.fandom.com wiki page about Jack the Monkey. It opens with a quote from the film. Which is, we've already hit on, but let me read it once more.
Please.
Why, thank ye, Jack. You're welcome. Not you. We named the monkey Jack. A beautiful moment.
So good.
And is it a capuchin?
Jack the Monkey, or simply Jack, was the second pet monkey owned.
The second pet monkey?
owned by the black-hearted Captain Hector Barbosa, mockingly named after Captain Jack Sparrow. This capuchin monkey, Hollywood's favourite monkey. Well done, Evan. You know your...
I'm learning.
Was considered the meanest, most rotten-tempered simian in all of the Caribbean. Jack the monkey first joined his owner in a search to find of the cursed treasure of Cortez.
They're giving this monkey way too much agency. This is not a pirate monkey that has joined forces with Barbosa.
We say that, but actually that monkey across the movies does get a bit of a personality, and it is mean.
That's true.
That monkey gets a mean
personality. Was there a tiny, adorable monkey pirate ship that also docked at the whatever they call the Isla de Muerta or whatever? Oh, man.
But that monkey gets vicious sometimes to other people, even after it's, like, in the second and third ones when it's not undead anymore.
Yeah.
It bites, it hisses, bares its teeth.
Well, in the second and third ones, it's still undead.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Remember, he's like, did you bring me a gift, Jack? And he's like, undead monkey. Look at that. And shoots it.
That's right. And apparently that was because at some point, he went back and recursed himself.
Oh, right.
This monkey just is a pirate.
It liked being undead.
That's crazy.
That seems smart. I mean, so that's something that I found interesting is, you know, we build towards the last scene where the English army or navy is there, the pirates are there. So there's sort of three sides. And then you got Captain Jack Sparrow.
Need to differentiate them, and
Orlando Bloom sort of trying to come in between and get their freedom, and they have an all out fight with these undead pirates you can't kill.
Absolutely.
Why are they going toe to toe with them?
Well, I always think that fight with the British Navy against the undead pirates on the whatever it is, the Dauntless. That's such a scary fight.
Mm. Yeah, you just can't win.
Mm. You just got to fight until you die.
It seemed like it was spooky.
Those soldiers were fighting just to delay their own death.
Yeah.
I would just jump in the water and just try to make a run for it. Like, your best option is just to try to escape.
They did the opposite of that, though. They boarded the ship.
Yeah.
They rode their boats up and...
True, yeah, that's right.
That's weird.
Did they understand
Well, I mean, it doesn't seem like they knew that magic was real, so...
Right,
but they did see that there were...
Undead pirates. Yeah, but there's also a scene where they explode one of the pirates, like his skeleton bits go everywhere, so, I mean, like, can you just pull one apart?
There was also one part where they skewered three and then when they were in the moonlight, so they were in their skeleton form, put a bomb inside one of them, then pushed them into the shadow, so they became human form again. And then the look on his face was like, oh, shit, you've got us?
Yeah, I think he says, oh, no, and then explodes or something.
Was that him being killed?
I believe you'll find the line is, no fair.
Oh, that's right.
But then there's also the arm that's been detached has still got its own.
I reckon they get blasted into bits, but they're still, like,
conscious.
Capable of moving.
That's unpleasant.
And do they come back together?
Yeah, maybe they crawl back to each other and rejoin, like the Iron Giant.
Oh, yeah. See, that's a good film.
That's a great film.
So, no monkeys. Though.
To break the curse, though, Barbosa and his crew need to recollect. They spend all these coins, the cursed coins, so they need to collect them all, give them back to the Cortez bucket, cache or whatever.
The Cortez bucket,
that's what they call it.
And also spill, for some reason, the blood of
there's something that annoyed me, because you got to spill the blood of, like, the people that, it's like you need their blood and the...
Oh, right, so they'd already done all their own blood.
But it doesn't look like that. That always annoyed me, or on a rewatch, I was like, where's everyone else's blood?
Yeah.
Like, these are very pristine bits of molded gold or whatever.
Well, I guess the ones on the bottom might be the ones that have blood on them, because there's not... It's a big chest and it's full to the brim
coins. Yeah, I suppose.
Maybe the blood seeps down.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, maybe.
And so that's the whole thing. And I actually kind of felt like, you know, I kind of enjoyed how the bad guy... I was sort of like, wait, why are they the bad guys? They're actually...
Yeah, they're just
Same as Jack Sparrow. He was lucky. He, only because they mutineered against him, was he not one of those curses as well. So I'm like, and they were just trying to... They only needed some of the blood.
Yeah,
they didn't even need to kill him.
Yeah, that...
So why not just figure it out? They needed Orlando Bloom's blood because he was the son of a slain pirate.
Yeah, he was the son of the first captain, I think.
Bootstrap Bill.
Yeah. I think it's very interesting that Gibbs's argument with Jack Sparrow saved him from becoming a zombie pirate.
Yeah.
Because he would have been on that crew as well.
That's true. What, Gibbs's argument?
Gibbs, the reason why he's not with Jack Sparrow, why we see him at
the
beginning.
I see what you mean. Yeah. Why Gibbs isn't in part of Barbossa's crew. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because he's with the Royal Navy.
Yeah. Well,
but they were childhood friends.
For some reason.
And Gibbs.
Okay. Oh, you can be a childhood friend and go off into different careers.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think that's true. I haven't seen any proof of that.
I always like the villains in the Pirates of the Caribbean thing because, like, it's Barbossa, and I mean, he becomes just like a protagonist in the later films. But in this, you're never like, you know, you're not sympathetic towards him, but he's not just like evil for evil's sake. He's just trying to sort out a curse.
He misses the taste of Granny Smith.
Yeah, you can't blame him.
I'm totally like, why aren't we all helping them break this curse?
I'd not had an apple for 10 years, a Granny Smith would taste all right.
Yeah, that's fair. If it was all I had.
I mean, that's smart. You know, like if people have been lost in the wilderness for a while, you don't want to give them a feast straight away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You give them a shitty apple and then you build them up to a pink lady.
Yeah.
How long have they been undead for? How long have they been cursed for?
Oh, good question.
It can't be that long, right?
Jack Sparrow gets marooned before they get...
Well, yeah, Keira Knightley is a kid.
Yeah.
She finds one of those coins.
That was
so at
right.
least her lifetime.
Yeah. It's 7 years.
I think it's 8 years.
8 years. That would rings be my a guess. Bell.
It's 7 years between the beginning of that little beginning scene and then when we see the characters again.
Yeah.
So it's got to be more than 7 years.
Yeah.
8 years. I think it was a bit longer than 8 years.
Maybe 10? Mm. Yeah. I thought it was 8, though. I feel like I remember Barbossa saying, 8 long years I've gone without the taste of a Granny Smith apple. Something to that effect.
What torture.
What did you think about that, Evan? Does that make sense to you? I mean, does that ring a bell how they... because you're always good at seeing movies. You see
Except
things,
in this case.
Well, you didn't see it, not for a while. you see the plot holes and stuff better than I do.
See, I don't know.
Did this add up to you?
I mean, I just accepted everything when I watched this initially.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking through it again now. I kind of see what you're saying about how, why isn't everybody just trying to, it's in everybody's best interest to solve this curse. Like, the British, what do they want to be fighting undead pirates
absolutely.
For the rest of their lives?
If they found out, and they also don't like Will Turner. So if they found out that they needed Will Turner's blood, well then, whatever. They might as well take care of it.
I guess that was unbeknownst to them.
That's true.
But then maybe they didn't even know they could break the curse. But why didn't Captain Jack Sparrow just go, hey, all right, I think I know everything.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle of all this. All we need is a little bit of Orlando Bloom's blood.
Yeah.
And that last coin, we can chuck it in. These guys are back. You can go off. We'll give
Jack Sparrow
days.
Wants the black pearl back, I guess.
Right. So you go, I'll break your curse.
Yeah, yeah. You give me
the
black pearl.
You give me the boat back.
Well, I think that's a deal he tries to strike at the end, isn't it? He's like, I'll give you... Will Turner's got the blood you need, so I can do that. You just give me my ship. You take the Dauntless. We're chips and gravy. Nobody's got to worry anymore.
Didn't he do that with a bit of a wink and then sort of...
Yeah, well, I think he was planning on betraying basically everyone. Yeah. I also really like in the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise how theatrical all the pirates are. So like the, you best start believing in ghost stories. Yeah. You're in one. That whole scene it's like the pirates are doing... theater.
Pointless chores out on the deck.
Yeah.
At the show.
We're skeletons, Miss Turner, for no reason other than...
It was all hands on deck, middle of the night. People were swabbing the poop deck.
Exactly.
Elizabeth Swann falls into a hole in the deck and into a net that all of the other zombie pirates are pulling her up and down.
Up to the camera. Pretty amazing. That shot was great, how they got that camera right in the right spot.
And then also, like, she goes back into Barbossa's cabin or whatever, and there's, like, a pause, and Barbossa has a big laugh. Like, that was great. Good job, everyone. Back to work. Like, they're just doing it for the love of the game. It's good.
The ship is cursed as well, right?
No, yes, well, it's got like tattered flags and stuff.
And is indestructible.
Yeah. So I suppose, but is it indestructible? They call it the Curse of the Black Pearl, but it's really the Curse of Cortez's treasure.
Yeah.
The Black Pearl's just like the most prominent ship.
Why is that scene where they have a ship-to-ship shoot-off and the mortals are shooting at the undead? They know they're undead. Why are they... And they ruin their ship to have that fight with their dropping the anchor.
Yeah.
He basically... That was Keira Knightley's idea, I think. Mm. And the captain was based... Or what was his name?
Zoe Saldana?
Your man, though.
Gibbs?
Gibbs was basically like, it's just so crazy it might work. Yeah. Or is that either it's Jack Sparrow level crazy? So yeah. they did, and they're shooting forks and spoons
at zombies.
Yeah. Like, so why are you doing that?
What a strange situation to find yourself in.
It's kind of stupid.
But I guess if you sink the ship, you're like, well, they're on the bottom of the sea. We don't have to think about it anymore.
You're not sinking the ship with spoons and forks, though.
Yeah,
I get it. I like as well that you call Mr. Gibbs our guy. Big fan of that.
Mine and Adam's good friend, Mr. Gibbs.
Old man Logan.
Yeah. From NCIS. Oh.
Yeah. Yar. He's not old, no, he's not old man Logan. He's old man the guy that's like Logan in one of those
Sabretooth?
Maybe Woods in the origin, Wolverine origin where the actor's name's like Reitz Weber or something.
I think that is Reitz Weber.
What's that guy's name?
What are you talking about?
An old Marvel movie where
I think it's Sabretooth. Reitz Weber.
Reitz Weber.
Reitz Weber.
If it is Reitz Weber, I'll get it.
I don't think it is Reitz Weber. It's Reitz Weberman or something like that.
I don't understand why we're not talking about Pirates of the Caribbean anymore. What happened?
Well, no, because of Gruber or whatever looks a bit like that
Gruber.
Mr. Gibbs.
Gibbs.
Mr. Gruber.
Right.
Mr. Gibbs.
Gibbs looks like who?
Looks like Reitz Weber.
This is why we weren't talking about Pirates of the Caribbean.
What's that actor? His name's like Reitz Weberman or Liev Schreiber.
Liev Schreiber?
Liev Schreiber?
Ooh, that's starting to sound like a real name.
Liev Schreiber.
Look up Sabretooth Wolverine Origins.
That guy.
Oh, he looks like Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Wolverine. Yeah. What were you saying?
Sabretooth.
And that is Sabretooth. Yeah. That's great. Sabretooth. So it was where we started.
Right.
There was just a different Sabretooth at some point.
Yeah,
but you were absolutely right. He does look like an old man Sabretooth.
Oh, yeah.
Very correct.
Oh, well, I'm glad we spent time
to get
established
that.
Do you want to know some of Jack's personality and traits?
I would love to.
According to fandom.com?
Yeah.
Oh, the monkey. Yes, please.
Oh, the monkey. Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I said Jack.
Yeah, Jack. They named the monkey Jack.
They named the monkey Jack. Jack is shown as highly intelligent, able to understand and follow commands given to him. He also appears to understand at least some English, given his responses to various situations.
He
knows what's going on.
Jack was shown to be rather mischievous, which is a bit of a trope, to be honest.
Yeah.
Cheeky
yeah.
monkey.
You never get a somber, serious monkey.
Bullshit. Often causing annoyance amongst the Black Pearl's crew with his antics. Mm. Amongst his most common antics was stealing Rigetti's wooden eye and refusing to give it back.
Oh.
So Rigetti is from the British office?
Yes.
No, yes.
Yes,
no.
He is.
Is he from the British
There's
office?
One character with a wooden eye. Yeah, yeah, he is.
Oh.
Yes. Well, the guy with the wooden eye.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Cook.
Right. Yeah,
he was
the
one with the stapler and the jelly.
Gareth.
So that's an example of his cheeky behavior.
See, I remember that CGI being pretty good, or does it not hold up either? The eye thing.
I think it's
yeah,
fine.
I think the eye's fine. The wooden eye looks fine.
Yeah, when he turns and he gets the fork in the eye and he turns, I thought that looked okay.
Jeffrey Rush's green eyes look cool. That's probably not CGI. It's probably just lenses. But
It looks cool. Yeah.
Or his eyes.
Or maybe he just looks like that.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Haven't said anything about any of that stuff.
No.
Because I don't want... I know he takes people to court. Allegedly. No, that has happened.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's provable.
Says, unlike the rest of the cursed crew, Jack did not appear to mind being cursed. After the Aztec curse was initially broken over him, Jack purposefully returned to the treasure cave and recursed himself. That happens in the following film.
That's great as well, because they say that the island can only be found by those who know where it... Like, what a journey this monkey took to get some gold just to keep on him forever. He loved being undead. He loved not tasting bananas.
A monkey chartering a ship to get to this island.
Yeah. How did it work? I mean, imagine, I guess, you're a group of pirates. Maybe there's just another group of cursed pirates out there, because the only way I can imagine that working is a monkey comes to you, carves with its finger a map to a cursed treasure, and you're like, we gotta find him. We gotta follow this monkey.
It could be. What if the monkey comes with some other treasure? Maybe the monkey's got something else otherwise, and people are like, where'd you get that treasure?
That's true.
And then the monkey leads
And
them.
He plays it real coy.
And then it gets the treasure, kills the pirates.
What would happen if the monkey has a piece of gold from the treasure and gives it to somebody else, or someone takes it from the monkey.
Hey, the monkey's still cursed. No, if you take it, you get cursed.
Yeah, because the
right. But anyone else can have it without being cursed.
Because Elizabeth Bloom and Elizabeth Swan.
Oh right.
Keira Knightley both had it at times.
See, that seems like a good loophole.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So you could have.
You get the monkey to take it all.
Get the monkey to take everything.
That's true.
He likes being cursed, I guess.
But what's the monkey getting out of it other than, like, the monkey's already there. He's getting cursed. He doesn't care. What else is he getting?
Well, these are peanuts, whatever.
Well, he can't enjoy peanuts.
But he doesn't know that.
He's a monkey.
The monkey's eating bananas being like, what the hell is happening here? I'll eat another one just to check.
It feels like a kind of real handy thing to have. If I was Jeffrey Rush or his crew, I'd be like, all right, put in a back, spill a bit of blood, have an apple, pick it up again, undead pirate again.
Clever.
You just come and go. I need to be indestructible for a while. I want to come back and enjoy an apple. I'll drop a bit of blood and a coin back.
They really should have brought the bucket,
yeah.
on the black pearl with them so that they could just, as they please. I guess you don't want to be sunk and lose it at the bottom of the sea.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And then you'd be a real target for others coming.
Yeah, I want that cursed treasure. Yeah, it seems good.
Yeah. People do seem to still go after the, because in movies and in real life, people are always like, ha, curse. Give me that treasure.
I'll take the Black Dahlia. Yeah, it'll be good.
Here's some behind the scenes on Jack from the fandom page.
Oh.
Jack the Monkey was played by at least 4 Capuchin monkeys.
That rules.
Yeah.
How cool would Barbossa have been with 4 monkeys?
Oh, my God.
We named the monkeys Jack.
Jack and Jack.
So Jack was portrayed by a 10-year-old female named Tara and a 10-year-old male named Levi.
Oh, portrayed. I heard betrayed. What? Is this an expanded universe? The adventures of Jack the Monkey?
On the set, he was betrayed.
Betrayed.
No, maybe I said betrayed because you both heard that.
Yeah.
No, portrayed, unfortunately. Well, Chiquita and Pablo portrayed Jack in the sequels, Dead Man's Chest and At World's End. Chiquita reprised the role of Jack in both On Stranger Tides and Dead Men Tell No Tales, while Pablo also reprised the role in the latter one.
Great.
So maybe, by the sounds of it, do you think the monkey's acting affected? Because you said the later films are less good. Yeah. If that's the case.
Maybe part of it was the monkey.
So maybe Tara was the best portrayal?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the monkey in the fourth and fifth one. Because in the fourth one, the Black Pearl is in a bottle, so that's where the monkey would be.
Oh, in the fourth one, that's right. It's a very brief scene that we see the monkey when I think one of them's looking at the bottle and we see the Black Pearl trapped in the bottle.
Oh.
And then it like zooms in really close on one of the masts and the monkey's trapped in there as well. And it turns around and screams at the camera. Yeah. It's almost like a jump scare.
Yeah, that sounds like a horror film.
Yeah.
And then in the fifth one,
I forget in the fifth one.
I don't know.
Did you watch to the post credits?
Yeah.
I didn't. So this is where that scene is, apparently. Jack appears in a scene after the credits of The Curse of the Black Pearl, showing how he becomes cursed once more after Barbossa's death, explaining his undead status in the sequels, particularly Dead Man's Chest and At World's End.
Yeah.
So that was when they just show him back there.
They just show him there, he grabs it and screeches at the camera. Like it's like a jump scare and then it ends.
Right.
And you're like, whoa, the monkey's cursed. Okay. Cool, Phil.
Was it always going to be a trilogy?
I don't think so.
Because it was based on a fun park ride.
Yeah, it's based on a classic Disneyland attraction, the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
So weird.
And is it because of that is why they tried it for, they did like a Battleship.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
Connect 4 movie. After that.
Well, no, because they did the Pirates of the Caribbean one, and then they were like, well, let's turn more, because there's a film coming out this year which looks like it's in the footsteps of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise called Jungle Cruise.
I went from went from an amusement ride to
board game.
I don't know.
That was a weird job.
Yeah. But
all the same to me.
It's all games.
I quite like in the Battleship movie where they play Battleship. That's great.
I've not
seen you've got to at some point in a Battleship film.
Are there any apes in it?
Not to my knowledge.
Thank God.
I don't think I have any reason to watch it. Jungle Cruise sounds like it won't be any. Like,
well, it's got the same level of, like, what I really like about the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise is like the fun, you know, the what do you call it? The like the fight scenes, the set pieces
and
stuff.
Yeah,
and the choreography and the like ingenuity of whatever.
The song is good too.
Yeah, the song's pretty good. But yeah, but because I think there was a period of time where Disney was like, we can turn, because it was the Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy. That was also based off a Disney ride.
Right.
Yeah.
There was plans for a Space Mountain one as well, but I don't think they worked. Yeah. Tomorrowland.
Oh yeah,
that's a Disney.
I didn't mind that film.
I've never seen it.
People did not like it. Yeah. I watched it on a plane or something, and I always, you know, your head feels happier on planes or something.
Mm.
I enjoyed it on a plane.
I know.
I tend to watch kids' movies and get right into them on planes. It's like, this is beautiful. I'm being manipulated as if I was a child. Maybe that's who I am deep down.
Maybe.
The plane just lets it out.
The plane shows you for who you truly are.
Everyone knows that. According to writer Terry Rossio in his website, Tara had become a celebrity doing special appearances and being paid a lot after the success of The Curse of the Black Pearl. In his words, that was the reason for which she didn't reprise her role as Jack in further films. What?
She'd become too expensive? Or she was too famous for it? Or they were like, we don't like the level of fame this monkey got.
This monkey's getting a big head. He's asking for more and
that
more.
That is interesting, but it's also... It's a weird thing. This must be one of the... For some reason, Capuchins are the last ones hanging on to using real animals. It's nearly all CGI these days.
Yeah.
And maybe, I feel like that's what it should be.
Absolutely. That seems better than exploiting monkeys for their natural acting
ability. Cruel, sir.
Yeah.
And then making them do the media circuit.
Imagine, who cares? Imagine they're like, it's the monkey from Pirates of the Caribbean. You'd be like, I'm happy to see a monkey, I guess.
Yeah.
In a jacket, no less. That's good, but...
We believe you, I suppose. The same monkey.
How would you know?
Yeah. That's so weird.
If they brought out a different monkey...
Yeah, I mean,
they literally did in the movie.
Yeah,
that's true.
The dumb thing.
There's so many little factoids here. I don't know where to stop. I can't stop. Let's see what this one is. I'll stop at the next shit one. Okay,
All right, that sounds good.
The screenwriters of The Curse of the Black Pearl confirmed that Barbarossa naming the monkey Jack is a reference to Treasure Island.
Barbarossa?
Yeah.
What did I say? Barbarossa.
Yeah. Barbarossa.
That was an old sponsor of this show. They make great beard products.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's a freebie. Anyway. So it's a reference to Treasure Island, as the monkey was named after Barbossa's former captain, Jack Sparrow, just as Long John Silver's parrot was named Captain Flint in Mockery of Silver's
Parrot. That's great. That's great that there's a proud history of naming your pirate pet after somebody you dislike.
But it's sort of like, I hate you so much that I don't know. Oh, you're still thinking of me.
Yeah. There's something I mean, you've named something you're quite affectionate for after me.
Okay. I'm a bit obsessed, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's sort of projecting the same thing you're meaning it to.
Yeah.
I think that's worthy of going on more. There is a hanging monkey on the chandelier of the Pirates, the pieces of eight shop in the Pirates of Caribbean ride. Coincidentally, the monkey was also named Jack. Whether this is on purpose or not is unknown.
Have you ever been on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disneyland?
No, I've never been to Disneyland.
Yeah, it's a good ride.
Yeah,
I love a good ride.
When I went on it got stuck, and it was kind of scary. We went like shortly after the tragic riot accident at Dreamworld in Australia.
Gosh.
And so that was still kind of fresh as we were going on all these rides at Disneyland. And so it was kind of just that weird like, that feeling when a ride goes wrong.
Absolutely. And then the lights go on and all of the magic.
Well, so they didn't do, the lights didn't go, work lights didn't go on or anything like that. But the animatronics were still just sort of on loop doing their thing. And it was just like, sitting there for like 10 or 15 minutes.
No. Oh, wow, that's long.
It was a lot. It was quite a while. Yeah, we were just sitting there and like in you know, the water thing and stuff. Like, it was pretty uncomfortable. Luckily, we weren't on like, because there were people just in front of us who were on like
the
ramp thing to then go down.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been quite a bit more uncomfortable.
Sort of like a roller. So what kind of ride is it? It's roller
like
coaster.
Yeah, like a water adventure sort of.
Gradient from like 1 to 10, 10 being like an insane roller coaster, 1 being like just a gentle stroll. How like rough does the Pirates ride get?
Like a 2?
Trying to think back, it really is not. It's not a
it's
really
gentle.
Because I'm not really. I don't go really big rides. Mm. I didn't do like Space Mountain is pretty full on, or like I didn't do those ones.
But I was fine on, like, it's just, it's more, it's a pretty cruisy.
It's mostly just about, like, cruising through the water and going through various animatronics.
It's just like a nice thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you're like, whoa, down a big slope at the end.
Yeah, it's more exciting than the Jungle Cruise ride, which is,
I can imagine.
No good. That's like a proper kids thing.
But it's what I like about the, because the Tortuga scene in Pirates of the Caribbean, the movie, is, like, almost identical to the Tortuga section of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Oh, wow.
So, you remember there's, like, a lady sitting on some barrels pouring wine into a guy's mouth.
Yeah.
That's from the ride. There's
the
lady on like the balcony who has her skirt that she's just putting over a guy's face and then lifting up again in a way that I don't know what it achieves, but that's what I guess that's like the most PG kind of whatever salacious thing that they could do on the ride. But that's in the Tortuga scene. There's like heaps of stuff in the first movie that is just like absolutely based on the ride.
Yeah, right.
But now, because I went on the ride last year or the year before, I forget when, it must have been last year, and there's a Jack Sparrow at the end of it sitting on like a and I was in Paris Disneyland, and he's sitting on like a pile of treasure singing in French, but it's Jack Sparrow. So
right, so they've added, so Jack Sparrow was invented for the film, and they've retconned it into
and
the
and chucked
ride.
Him into the ride, which
they
is
had
weird.
To,
yeah,
right?
I suppose at a certain point, if the film becomes more popular than the ride, what a weird thing to have to think about.
I don't think I fully knew that there was a ride. Would me, an adult man, enjoy Disneyland?
I went to Paris Disneyland. It was genuinely one of the top 10 days of my life.
Wow,
that's not even a joke. It's up there. I had a great fun from the beginning to the end.
Great,
truly magical.
Keen to go.
I went a bit longer than that. It would have been like basically a decade, less than a decade, but a great while ago. And I also did enjoy it.
It's just it's a park perfectly designed to give you like a magical experience. Yeah. Like everything about it, all the forced perspective tricks, the way it's laid out, it's just designed for you to be like, oh my god, I'm 10, and it's great.
Mm. Oh, cool.
There is a little bit of pressure when you walk in. You're like, this is the happiest place on earth.
I
feel like I should be feeling something.
I don't think. I've only been to the Australian theme park.
It's very different, I think. It's
more. And I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy the Wet and Wild.
I think for me, Disneyland's, what I really liked about it was not even necessarily the rides. It's just like the thematic worlds and the, I don't know.
Yeah.
Something about that's really good.
I would love to. I did an episode of Do Go On about the opening of Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
And it was sort of like, just a bit of a disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'd be kind of, you know, when you know a lot about a historic thing, it's cool to visit that place.
Yeah.
So I'm keen to go to the original one, which is in somewhere in California,
Paris Disneyland, also incredible opening if you ever want to dip back in.
Okay, great.
The French were mad because you had to shave your facial hair to work there, and that was one of the main reasons that they were like campaigning to close it down. It's incredible.
Wow.
There were riots the day it opened.
They were mad.
How
also
long ago was this?
This was either the 80s or the 70s, I think. So fairly like recent-ish.
Why did they have to shave?
Well, that's Disneyland. It used to be their rule. Disneyland was like, you can't have any facial hair. What was the other reason?
It was
like
wine.
Oh, yeah,
they weren't allowed to serve wine.
You can't drink wine at Disneyland. And they were like, no!
What?
So,
Stuff.
Yeah.
I won't work at a place where I can't give children wine.
I can't have a big mustache and drink wine.
What will I eat with my foie gras?
Also, they called it Euro Disneyland, and Euro was considered, like, that's like calling it Dollar Disneyland. Because Euro for, like, the Western world is exotic and, like, fancy. But over in Europe, the euro was the currency. So they were like, oh, you're a big capitalism monument and you're calling it Dollar Land.
I don't,
not I super
that,
chill
was
with
the euro
that.
Around that long ago?
I think it was just associated with money. Maybe not necessarily this the currency, but it was like, associated with capitalism.
Right.
Yeah, worth looking into. Yeah.
Should we wrap up the movie and then this show. But it all comes together and there's a big fight. They need to end the curse. How do they end up doing it?
They trick them.
And there's also one thing running through the whole film when Captain Barbossa and his crew mutiny. Jack Sparrow, they leave him on a deserted island with a gun with one bullet, which apparently is the old tradition. Basically, so you don't starve to death, you end up using it on yourself. But instead, he saved it and he was going to use it one day on Jeffrey Rush.
Great.
In real life.
Yeah.
Captain Barbossa. So, and he's been saving it. He said earlier in the film, he pointed at Orlando Bloom. He's like, I'm saving this bullet. It's not for you. I don't want to shoot you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at the very end, he he pulls the trigger on the undead Jeffrey Rush in real life.
Oh, and, yes.
And they go, he goes, you've held on to this bullet for so long and you're wasting it now? What are you doing? And he was still undead at that point.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing.
And Orlando Bloom.
He couldn't have known that was going to work that way, dramatically holding his bloodied coin ready to drop it.
Yeah.
There's no way he would have known.
There's no way. It was just coincidence. Jack Sparrow cooked it in that moment, but Orlando Bloom saved it.
He saw it, but also, like, why is Orlando doing the dramatic? I mean, it's for the film, obviously. Yeah.
It could be that he was like, I don't know if this will kill him or not, but it will distract him for a second.
Because he
had just pulled a gun on Elizabeth.
Yeah, that's
true. And so he's like, well, this will buy Elizabeth a second, and then Orlando can also do his
thing. I love so much in that film how, like, everybody's lines are so cool. Like, it's got great dialogue, except Orlando Bloom. He's like, you waited, you know, 8 long years to finally pull the trigger and you wasted it. And Orlando Bloom's like, he didn't waste it. Like, it's just like,
earnest boy.
He's so earnest. It's amazing.
And then, so we're,
just so funny.
Yeah, right? Orlando Bloom never says anything cool. He's a big wiener.
I love Jack Sparrow.
But he's a heartthrob. He can get away with that.
He can't. He's not really there to be cool. Yeah. He's just
he's window pretty. Dressing.
Yeah.
So he, they save the day. All the undead pirates become live and then dead.
Yeah, pretty much. So they
or break the other ones.
They break the curse, and that's and then the bullet is inside Barbossa at the time.
And he's like, oh no, I have been shot though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I'm alive, I've still been shot.
Very dramatic.
Yeah.
And then the other ones who just remain alive surrender.
It's gotta be such a scary moment as a pirate where you're like, oh no. This is not how I wanted this to happen to jail.
Then we jump forward to their back in their English
Port Royal,
land, wherever it is. And they're about to hang Captain Jack Sparrow. Then Orlando Bloom tells Keira Knightley he loves her.
He's
dressed
like
this.
A musketeer for some
reason.
Yeah,
he looks like one of the three musketeers.
He never has that outfit again.
It
which
was
means
the
that,
fashion at the time.
But that means that in the canon of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, he's like, I'm newly liberated as a pirate. This is going to be my pirate look. He rocks it. Then he's like, doesn't work.
Yeah, there was
we all make mistakes. I'm going back to normal clothes.
There was a fashion montage they cut. It was in the mirror.
I've got a bloody question, actually. Those pirates that get captured on the ship,
we
see like all of them in movie 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, that's
they should
true.
Have been put to death.
They should have been hanged. No, we don't see Barbossa's crew. Yeah, we see Jack Sparrow's
we see
crew.
Those two comedy relief guys.
Oh, that's true. But they're together on a boat sailing away.
Are they?
Yeah, that's where we introduced them. They're on a boat in the second one. They're on a boat and they crash onto the island that Jack Sparrow has become the chief of the cannibals on. And they're talking about how now they're because they're alive and mortal, they need to find God.
No, because we see them fighting on the boat.
In the second one?
In the first one.
In the first? But all the other pirates get presumably hanged and they escape.
Yeah,
we gotta watch all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies again.
What you're forgetting is somehow they escape. But we actually see Jack Sparrow escape in the end, and then they almost let him go.
Yeah.
Why is that at the end that your man?
So Norrington.
Jack Sparrow gets away in a he's in a boat, is he, or is he swimming?
he's off, doing doggy paddle off into the great blue yonder.
And they forgive Orlando Bloom, even though he's just
Norrington's like, well. Okay.
All right. Yeah, he's sort of kind of cool about
it. Yeah.
And her dad is also kind of, he's like, you know, love for the right reasons.
Yeah.
He wanted her to marry the commandeer, but he goes...
Commodore. It's a great title, Commodore.
Oh, it's great. It is. I like that when the her dad watches... like Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley make out for a bit before he goes. Like he walks away, stops, looks back, and he's like, it's like in his head, he's like, well, who expected this? Okay. Wow, what a day.
Except he's like 2 meters away from
him. But so Jack Sparrow's off, and then...
Bring me that horizon.
And then his... Commodore
Norrington. Just call him Norrington.
An easy to remember name.
Yeah.
Norrington. Then Norrington, one of his men, go, why aren't we going after him? He says, we can give him at least one day's head start. Yeah. Why?
A decision.
They wanted a break.
Why not just say, let him go? It's not affecting us now. Why give him a day and then waste your time chasing him again?
Yeah.
If you've not seen the second or third movie, then I'm so sorry, but spoilers. But
you definitely know I haven't. I've told you I haven't seen it.
I know, yet. I know, it's what I'm saying.
There's an audience listening to this, though.
Oh,
might also.
Sorry. I forget that. It really feels like this is for no one but us.
It's a decision that destroys him, because we find out in like the second movie that he pursued Jack Sparrow so doggedly that he chased him into a hurricane, lost his ship, all his men became disgraced.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's great. Yeah, right. Norrington in the second film is introduced like as a drunkard in a tavern.
Yeah,
in the pirate town.
I remember that.
Because things went so wrong for him.
Is this where you... When did you fall in love with him? First film or over
the
series?
Oh, from the moment I laid eyes on his uniform.
Yeah. Splendid.
An authority figure? Yes, thank you.
So that's... I mean, that's how the film ends.
Yeah.
Do you want to give it a score out of bananas?
Yeah.
Out of bananas.
For those listening for the first time, you give it a banana score. How many bananas out of how big is your bunch? Everyone sees their bunches differently.
Yeah, that's true.
I have bunches of seven. I'll kick it off. I give this 4 pretty well ripened bananas out of 7.
Yeah, okay.
I was an enjoyable film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Without being, you know, it was probably, if someone said this is a pretty good film, that's what it was.
You wouldn't argue with them.
I wouldn't argue with them, no. I went in with no knowledge of the storyline, so nothing was spoilt for
me. That's pretty good.
You know, I bought a bunch of seven bananas this week.
Yeah.
Mm. And that was a mistake.
Okay.
It was too many. That sounds about right.
It was too many.
You're but one man.
Yeah. I'm but one man. Because I thought, surely you can eat more than one banana in a day. But it.
Yeah, true. You can.
It's doable.
I did it once. I had 2 bananas, but
I'm a massive fan of a banana and coffee.
Oh,
yeah. Eat a banana, have a cup of coffee. Great mix, flavor wise.
Yeah, start the day.
Yeah, it's a good. If you have 3 coffees a day, you can make 3 bananas.
If you go to an ice creamery, a fantastic 2-scoop double is coffee and banana.
That's great. It's a good mix of flavors.
It is a good mix. Colors, flavors. Yeah. Everything fantastic.
Wonderful.
Sorry, this is off topic. How many?
Oh, I reckon I give this 1 perfectly ripe bunch of bananas.
Wow.
Maybe with like Jack hiding, the monkey hiding inside, peeking out. I love this movie.
It's a perfect film.
This would be a perfect score for me. The Pirates of the Caribbean franchise is so dear to my heart.
That's great.
They don't make enough movies like this where it's just rollicking adventure, but it's not a fantasy.
Yeah.
It's not like, I don't know. It's just proper, pure adventure.
It does feel sort of like an old school film.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. It's wonderful.
I think the only thing that, and I know I took 3 bananas off.
Yeah.
But I think the things which is probably unfair is the CGI.
Yeah, look, it is a bit dated.
It took me out of it, which is
a
real lame critique.
And unfortunately as well, it's one of those films that's the people in it are becoming more and more problematic by the day. More and more people are dropping from this franchise flies.
Johnny Depp sort of bounced back, didn't he?
So...
I haven't really kept up to date with it. I know that he's on the nose.
Yeah.
But why is he still in the Crimes of Grindelwald?
I think he's still... Well, exactly.
They're
making
a
third one set in Brazil. What's happening with that franchise?
I don't know. I really like the first one.
First one was
first
great.
First one was lovely. Yeah.
I haven't seen the second one.
Oh, jeez, I wish there was.
Oh, I think we could...
I mean, what are these fantastic beasts if they're not monkeys?
One of them,
you know? How fantastic
could
they be?
Yeah.
We could figure it. I'm sure there's
somewhere. We'll find something else.
How many bananas do you give it? Adam Carnavale.
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 I think if I'm looking at it around the base of that monkey's great.
Yeah.
He's good. He's got a funny name. Yeah. That has a lot of beautiful historical richness and vibrancy to it. I think out of a bunch of 7, I am also going to give it 7 out of 7 bananas. I'm going to say, though, you know how you get a bunch of bananas and you buy it because you can actually see your week in that banana.
Yeah, for sure.
You can be like, I'm going to eat that one tomorrow, then that one the day after. It's like that. Some of them are more ripe than others.
Yeah, okay.
That's perfect. You want a spectrum of ripeness.
Yeah.
I'll often buy 4 and 3.
Yeah.
And get the three being green.
Yeah, and that's what I should yellow. Have done because yeah. now I have three spoiled bananas on my bench. Sticking out the apartment.
Oh, that's a smoothie ready yeah. to go.
That's true. That's
I
that's
could not
great
be any more
smoothie.
Jealous of you right yeah. now.
Or like a cake. There's good
yeah,
for cakes.
Banana
right?
bread
banana,
as well.
I should make Ooh, banana bread.
You should. Bread. You got so many bananas.
Oh, three.
Have you given a score there, Ev?
No, I think I would give it 4 out of 5 Granny Smith apples.
Oh.
Which...
Oh, that's good. Bad.
That's a great score.
You want is, less? Yeah. No, you want less Granny.
It's like golf.
It's yeah, it's golf. You go.
No, I like them.
That so would have been great in that scene where they were putting anything in the cannons. Yeah. Knives, forks, Granny Smiths.
Imagine being Barbossa who can't even eat an apple getting pelted with the one apple you love.
And how? So we Andy Matthews, some sort of scientist, was on the first episode, and he told us that. Humans and chimpanzees share 98% DNA. How much of yourself did you see in Jack? Just real quickly as a percentage.
Cheeky, named out of spite.
Yep.
wanted to be undead for reasons that are unclear.
Jackson was your dad's archenemy's name?
Yeah. We named the boy Jackson. no, I see a lot of myself in little Jack the Monkey. If I could spend the rest of my life sitting on the shoulders of a powerful pirate causing mischief, I would.
Yeah. Wow.
He'd have to be pretty big, though.
I love Jack, but I don't see a lot of myself in him. I'm not as mischievous as he is, and I don't want to sit on the shoulder of a powerful pirate as much as he does. I also wouldn't have gone back for that gold.
Yeah, that's a strange
decision. So I'm reckoning only maybe like 38%.
38, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I'd be like 30%.
Yep.
I'm much bigger and not undead and cursed.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true. There you lose a few points there.
It would have been great if... So you scored 30%. I scored 38%. It would have been great if you two scored the Rotten Tomatoes. 1 and 2.
You're right. Yeah, 73. I'm 73%.
I'm 55%. I'm a little cheekier than Adam. a little more undead than Evan. All right. Well, that brings us to everyone's favorite section of the show. It's where I get to read out a few
more.
Patreons.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, this is why I've been trying to wrap up.
Yeah,
lately.
That's fair.
Because there's this hidden extra 15 minutes at the end. So if you support this show and others from the Do Go On podcast network at patreon.com/dogoonpod, you get different rewards, including bonus episodes and things like that, as well as getting read out on here. One of the other new podcasts in this mini network, I should say, is called Listen Now. It's my new podcast about music with my cousin Sam. It's real fun. The first season, it's about the music of Cold Chisel. You don't need to have heard of them. If you're not from Australia, you probably haven't. But it's a real good fun time. We walk you through it from beginners and play little bits and pieces, and it's a fun time.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Listen Love a bit now, of Cold Chisel.
I think if you search Listen Now with Matt and Sam, because that's its name, you'll find it.
That would check out.
Yeah. Also, I should plug, I'm in London doing a stand-up show on the 7th of December, and I was told to plug it. So I'm doing that now. There's about 30 tickets left, and it's going to sell out soonish, but you can get tickets at mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. It's going to be sick fun.
That rules.
All right, so here's some of the patrons and their favorite monkeys closing out the show, including Ben Johnson, who says, "Hey, Evan." Okay. Okay, Ben, interesting start there.
Yeah.
"Hey, Evan, while I understand why you think humans are so great," he is humans with a capital H as well there,
as
"and Andy from Toy Story is a great example, I'd like you to reconsider based on all the atrocious acts humans have committed. Think of all the war, polluting and suffering humans have caused, and how you're condoning all the murderers, rapists, Hitlers and Justin Biebers of the world. Anyway, just change your mind and say Harambe or something." Oh, that's a different tack no one has taken yet.
Yeah.
Harambe must have done something bad.
Well, he nearly ate a baby.
Oh, there you go. Right.
Nearly ate a baby.
He would have eaten that baby if we hadn't stepped in.
We don't know. That's why they had to do something.
We did the right thing.
It's Schrodinger's eaten baby, isn't it?
I think, there's good monkeys and there's bad monkeys as much as there's good humans and bad humans.
Yeah. And Andy from Toy Story's never committed a genocide.
No, not that we're all...
He's been nothing
not that
but
we know of.
No, it wouldn't be canon.
Yeah, the fifth movie hasn't... been written yet.
Yeah, true.
We never know.
That's a great angle, though. Thank you so much, Ben. I'd also love to thank Jacob Miller, who says, I think it's all become Evan-centric. He says, I think to ease Evan into an answer that is not his current bullshit response, I would recommend he consider Beast from the X-Men, as he has at various points been humanoid and ape-like. Also, he's blue, and occasionally Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, and that is a very tempting proposition, because I really like Kelsey Grammer.
And his color political blue and statements and
of course yes I can know it.
I don't know what they are, but I know he had a
conservative
thing at
some point. Yeah, he's very conservative.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're not. Are you telling me that necessarily being conservative is bad, Evan? I know you didn't say that at all.
No, I didn't say that.
Tell you what, he does.
Does
take a great
given
photo
the chance.
Of take a great photo of himself in the nude sitting at a table.
Oh, yeah, we've all seen
this. We discussed that on the...
well, because we did the Beast episode fairly recently.
There's a backlog of these. So been messaged in before we did the Beast.
Yeah, well, they got something to look forward to, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the past. When he wrote that. So that actually sounds like Evan's closest. Yeah, maybe even closer than that monkey riding a pig.
Whoa.
Thank you so much for that suggestion, Jacob Miller. Also, Stefan Prince writes, hey, Matt, my favorite primate is the monkey with the symbols inside Homer's head from the Simpsons movie. I love that even though he represents Homer's incapability to think straight, he's still smart enough to point out that Homer should probably listen to what Marge has to say. Smart primate. Also plays the symbols and flips. Cool primate, too. That's ticking boxes.
Yeah, that
smart,
great.
Cool. I'd date that monkey. that one wasn't addressed to you, though.
Yeah.
That was just Stefan's.
We don't require
personal.
A response from you, I guess.
No, everyone's looking at me.
But a fantastic suggestion. Thanks so much, Stefan. And finally, Olivia Gatliff says, my favorite primate is the eye. And this has come up a few times. It's amazing. Have you seen the eye?
A primate, yeah. My God.
Because they've got big old middle fingers, just like me. I think Evan might like the Poto.
What?
It's like a tree bear who's got spikes under its skin to protect from predators.
What? Yeah, the Poto's cool.
How is that spelled?
P-O-T-T-O.
P-O-T-T-O.
Is it the one where the spikes poke through the skin to
they're
like...
sort of in the possum sort of family of primates.
Oh, okay.
It's like a little mole.
They're like buff possums with longer limbs and stuff.
Yeah.
They're kind of frightening looking.
Yeah.
One of them crawling on the roof at you? No,
but they're in the cutie pie section
Cute. I think they straddle the border between cute and frightening.
Yeah, it depends if you feed it water after midnight or whatever.
Look at its little tongue.
Yeah. That's fun. Potto, Evan. Thoughts? That one was directed.
I'm looking at their skeletons. They're cool.
Show it us.
Oh, Evan.
Well,
I don't like it.
Is that an undead Potto?
Yes.
We named the Potto, Jack.
I should say, before we wrap up, if you give us a 5-star review, I'll read some out on the show. I've got a few backlog, but maybe I'll read a quick one out now. It says, this podcast has nothing to do with prime numbers. It's just the old curmudgeon from Do Go On supposedly talking about monkeys and apes when he's not talking about Spider-Man or Toy Story. And he's got his robot sidekick who thinks humans are the best primate because he doesn't get the premise of the show he's on. Also, Nick Mason is only on a handful of episodes, which is a crime against Australian podcasting. I never read these before I read them
then
regret them halfway through. This has been pretty negative so
it's
far.
It's been rough.
Each episode is a series of unfunny digressions that has nothing to do with anything. Jeez, I wonder if he's going to, like, get fritty with the boys.
Yeah, I know. I was wondering about that, too.
And it gives me migraines. And trust me, I've listened to them all twice. Nah, it's all right. It's entertaining, I guess. 5 stars. Okay.
That's pretty good.
That was a roller coaster, much like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Plus, also, getting fritty with the boys is fairly on topic in that it's always about fruit.
Yes.
So, you know, that one doesn't mean
in and
as
of
much.
Itself. Yeah. Thank you very much. And yeah, that's that wraps us up here. Where can people find you, Jackson, Adam, the Best Boys?
Yeah,
is it on the Best Boys podcast?
Yeah, I believe at thebestboys.com. No, you can find us at Sans Pants Radio. Mm-hmm. I specifically host D&D is for Nerds, And Jackson's also there, but Jackson is also on. Jackson's on so many.
I'm on a whole bunch of podcasts on the Sandspence Radio Network at thesandspenceradio.com. I'm sure there'll be a podcast there you're liking. There are like 15 or something, so probably you'll find one you enjoy.
And there'll be a link to the website in the show notes if you want these.
Oh, much appreciated.
Evan, where can people find you on James?
Jamesy James.
On James. Gamey Game. Go to YouTube and type that in, or gameygame.com. And this is coming out Thursday?
Yes.
So this week's episode, if you go over look now, has Cass Page.
Ah, fabulous.
From the Sense Network. And Michelle Brazier from Double Denim. She's great. And Ben Russell, who is also on this show sometimes.
So good.
Yeah, it's a really fun episode. Really, really funny.
People should watch it.
Yeah. People should watch it. Or listen to it as in podcast form as well. So if you search for Gamey Game, the correct title of the show.
That's with a J.
With a G.
Oh, G.
Yeah.
A soft G.
You can find it on your podcast app too.
Great. Wonderful. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Now, as we always do, we finish with the classic Primatey sign-off. But before that, I'll say thank you so much for joining us, Evan, Adam and Jackson. As we always say here at Primates Podcast,
we named the podcast, Jack.
No one was better.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.